This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. A wonderful Thursday.
Thanks.
And before today's show, I was at the Trailblazers practice facility for pre-draft workouts, and we had our first crew of guys coming through that had real first-round grades on them. Now, most of these guys, if they do have a lottery grade on them, they are right on the fringe of that. These are most of these guys, I would say, are probably pick 15 through 25 is probably what you're looking at.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. This is far and away
The best group
that has come through in actual first-round worthy guys. But it did seem like this group was...
The next group back.
Yeah, not 11.
So here's what's going to be really interesting from this draft. After the top five picks, picks 6 through 14 is going to be... I use the term grab bag, and I'm not using that as a pejorative. It is a eye of the beholder situation. What do you want? And that is kind of where that world is. Do you want a big guard like Kasparis Jakaciunas or Yegor Demin? Do you want a project-type player to work with, like in trying to build out over a long tail, like a Carter Bryant? Is that somebody that you're kind of looking at? Like, there's so many different guys in this range that you could see maybe a team preferring a more finished product, like a Rashear Fleming, who has multiple years of experience and has showed a growth trajectory.
St. Joe's.
He came in, and he's part of the group today. Let me go get to the guys that came in today. You had Asa Newell out of Georgia. You had Rashear Fleming out of St. Joe's. You had Hanson Yang, who is from the Chinese Basketball Association, the Qingdao Eagles. I can never remember what their mascot is. Jace Richardson, the son of former NBA player Jason Richardson, the guard from Michigan State.
If they go 6-foot guard at number 11.
Yeah.
No.
I know likey. Liam McNeely, Donovan Klingon's teammate at UConn. Or excuse me, not teammate. The came followed Donovan Klingon, but from UConn. And then Will Riley, the big guard slash wing at Illinois.
That's how they were built at Illinois. Big guards, baby.
It was a big, long team. Mm-hmm. I mean, so for those that are wondering, Asa Newell.
Could not miss when they went to Eugene.
Oh, God. Asa Newell, 6'10", kind of a tweener in the sense of, like, is he really a five? Is he more of a small ball five slash, like, more interior four? The questions, with like, here's my quick synopsis on Asa. I love his mentality. I love his IQ, his charisma. The way he moves, he's incredibly fluid. The shooting was suspect, and that will be a big determining factor for him. I think he shot 26% from three at Georgia this year. He also, while 6'10", I believe he measured at a 6'11 wingspan, which is very reminiscent of like a Mason Plumlee who had shorter arms. Typically, when you're bigger, you want to see at least a plus four. So you kind of like, for perspective's sake, somebody said on the text line that Asa Newell is like he was the Pokemon evolution of Ryan Rupaire. Well, the problem with that is Roops is 6'8", 2 inches shorter.
Roops has got long
arms. He's got a 7'3" wingspan.
Yeah.
He is freakishly long with his wingspan. And so that's kind of the knock on Asa. But one of the first things I noticed, because he was here for Hoop Summit a little more than a year ago, he has put on real weight. He has put on around 20 pounds. That's what we got done doing the media availability. I talked to him for a split second. I was like, hey, man, you know, you look a lot bigger than you were here a year ago. And he just kind of smiled. He's like, yeah, that's the feedback that I've gotten. And a lot of teams that I've already talked to at the combine think I can put on a lot more and still be fluid. And that's a real, like, he's 225-ish right now. If he can get up to 235, 240 and maintain fluid athleticism at 6'10",
not too shabby,
and turn into a 35% three-point shooter. Again, yeah, you're asking for some asks here. There's no
Those
doubt about it.
Pretty big asks.
But again, you're talking about a guy who only spent 1 year in college, one and done.
Yep.
He played at a very high-profile team. He actually played with Leon McNeely in high school, his high school teammate. So he said it was very cool to work out with him as part of this process. But I don't know if I'd take him at 11. The intangible stuff about him, I love. Great cutter, very fluid, very active. The guy that just blew my doors off, though, was Rashear Fleming. Rashear Fleming came in with a plus, nearly, I should say, 8 3/4 or eight and 5/8 wingspan, plus 8. This guy's arms, he's 6'9". His arms, his middle finger when standing there was resting on his kneecap. I mean, it was like, oh my God, this guy is long.
That is crazy.
And played at St. Joe's, really knocked down the three at a high clip. I think shot 42.5% from three. I don't look at him as a guy that you're like, man, I wonder if he can add some on the dribble juice. He's a guy that I look at and go, he is a proven commodity in that he can be a 3-and-D player. And if he does add a little off the dribble wiggle, the ability to attack closeouts, the ability to be a second side attacker, great.
Yeah.
But being, if you're drafting a guy 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in that range, having a guy as you can plug in and trust, that's valuable.
Yeah, it is.
But I asked him, like, the one question that I made sure that I asked all the guys today, who are the guys that you watch tape on? Because it kind of gives an indicator of like who they see themselves projecting as in the pros.
Yep.
And I loved Rashear's answer. Jaden McDaniels and OG Anunoby. Because he's kind of a hybrid build of those two guys. Not barrel-chested like OG, but not thin-framed like Jaden. He's a bigger up top, but has Jaden's insane wingspan. Because the thing about Jaden McDaniels is he's 6'10" with crazy long arms. OG has long arms, but he's a truck up top, and he's very difficult to deal with. And hearing him understand kind of the lane he's going to be in was... Those are the kind of things that I take from guys. Like, they're saying the right things.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the concern there is he became, like, from year one at St. Joe's to year three, an incredible three-point shooter.
You saw the progression each year.
Every year he got significantly better in that. But is there going to be more consistency with that when he gets to the NBA?
Typically,
because
when you see
he was never a dead eye lights out shooter. He used to work for it.
Yeah, but do you see the work paying off?
Yeah,
that's the thing. And I had some people asking what I think.
He didn't shoot a lot either.
He shot enough in college. Yeah. But the thing that he kind of reminds me of, his frame, it's not as big as him, but the idea of him. A prospect coming out that I loved that I just ended up having wrong was Noah Vonleh. Noah Vonleh was built in a lab to play the power forward in that era.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, 6'10", big shoulders, big long arms, huge butt, just tree trunk legs. I look at Rashear, not quite as big up top, crazy range with his wingspan and his mobility, big strong base, big legs. And I go, you know what? In the modern NBA and what you guys, this archetype is asked to do, you have the physical tools to be an impact guy on both ends of the floor.
Interesting. I mean, he would be a bit of a reach at 11.
Yes. And again, none of these guys are guys that I would be like, yes, you have to take them 11. It depends on how the board falls and who goes where and what kind of happens. If you're picking 15, 16... Yeah, you've got my interest. Another guy who hasn't come through here yet, I imagine Will, is Neat Clifford from Colorado State, one of my favorite players in this draft, who's not a dyed-in-the-wool, oh yeah, he's going to be a star. I think I look at him and I see supersized Josh Hart, which if you can get Josh
supersized
Hart...
Supersized Josh Hart is very intriguing.
A better shooting 6'6" Josh Hart is a very good player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, because he's with teammates with Jabari Walker, I was talking to Jabari about Neek a couple times throughout the season, and I was like, when I watch him, I go, I see Josh Hart, and Jabari just flashes this huge smile. He goes, I'm going to tell him that. He goes, you know who he watches the most tape of? I'm like, Josh? He goes, yeah, that's the guy he watches, because he's a great rebounding guard, and so is Neek. Neek averaged just short of 10 rebounds a game in college as a guard. That's, you want to see that. Speaking of guards, one of the guards that they brought in is your undersized guard,
Jace Richardson.
Jace Richardson, who barefoot is 6 foot tall. Okay. He today, I didn't have to look up to talk to him. And I'm sitting there going, his frame's tiny. Boy, he's going to have a tough time. And I loved his answer when I asked him, look, the thing that is going to come up over and over again is your size. Who are the guys you are watching in the league that are smaller that you are taking from to be successful in the league? His answer could not have been more perfect for me. Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Mike Conley is 6 foot one and has, and it's like, I don't know if people truly remember how fast, quick, twitchy Mike Conley was coming out of Ohio State. He was a blur. And Jace Richardson is an elite athlete. He does not have the hops of his dad where Jason had a 44 or 45 inch vertical.
He was lights out. Just like he would jump out of the gym.
He's got one of the best in-game verticals in modern basketball history. Jace doesn't have that, but he's got bunnies. Like he can get up. And it was interesting. He goes, during the drills today, the coaches were all asking us to switch on everything. Okay, so the guys I mentioned, 6 foot 10, Asa Newell, 6 foot 9, Rashear Fleming.
Having to switch with the 6 footer?
Well, it got worse. The team he was up against had 7 foot 2.5 Hanson Yang. And he got caught in a couple switches on that and had to do it. He's like, I wanted to show that I could do it.
Yeah.
He goes, and he was asked about, you know, how the scrimmages went because they played some three on threes. He goes, there was a lot of trash talking. It was a lot of fun. He goes, it was tough to score around the 7'3" guy.
I would imagine so.
Because you just don't see that in college.
Yeah.
That's just not something you're accustomed with. The other guy that was there was Will Riley, the 6'8.5", 6'9" guard wing, who's gotten some LaMelo Ball comps because of kind of how he moves, kind of slinky, just kind of slides around. He's a guy, was a highly, highly, highly touted recruit. He, to me, is a guy, as you're looking at, as a project, if he hits. Not like a project in the sense of like a repair, where you know he's really raw. But I think it's going to be a couple years, in the sense of like, by the time he comes around a second contract, you're going to know whether he's got or not. But if he does hit, it could be very interesting, because again, you're talking about that size. Having ball skills at 6'8", 6'9", is a big deal.
Yeah, but will you know if he's in Portland? Because there's a lot of guys like that.
And so,
like, that's the problem. And that's where you go, you look at the roster, you look where the log jams are going to be. And that's going to be the most difficult part for the Blazers, is that you've got a lot of projects as it is.
And here's an interesting thing for Portland, because agents are trying to get their guys in positions where they will have opportunities on the floor. There is not a position on the Blazers roster that does not have young depth. Point guard, you've got Scoot.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting guard, you've got Shaden. Small forward, you've got Tumani. At the four, you've got Chris and Tumani and Roops in the 2-3-4 range. Denny is 24 at the four. Donovan Klingon is 21 at the five. So they are young everywhere. And one of the obstacles the Blazers are going to have, again, talking about getting guys to come in at pick number 11, they already have to overcome that hurdle. The second part of this is they have to be kind of work with agents to get guys in the building that maybe their agents are trying to steer away from Portland because they have so much young depth, because they won't have the clear path to playing time. That is an agent's job. It's not just to get guys to a position that gets them the highest draft slotting. It's getting them to a team.
Well, that's what you saw today, is a lot of guys who are not even in consideration for 11, but
they want to come here for that because that's a higher spot for them.
Yep. And that helps them.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really interesting. Expect much more workouts like this coming forward, where they're going to get better and better. And then it's going to be interesting to see how many of these end up being the private slash closed workouts.
Yeah.
You know, I'll find out about them and who kind of came through. It was funny last year. I was there for one workout and DC walked by. And I looked at one of the guys in the Blazers, and he just looked at me and just shook his head. I'm like, yeah, the 7'3 guy is kind of hard to hide.
Yeah, you can't hide him.
So there'll be a couple of those, I'm sure, because that's how agents like to kind of control things. But we are less than a month away, and I'll have the database, and I'll start sharing out, you know, my notes and thoughts on some of this stuff. But it was nice to kind of be in the swing of things as we're, like I said, less than a month away. We are June 25th, so we are the 29th today. We are a little bit under 4 weeks away.
Well, we hope they can start working out guys that are in that 11 range.
Expect to see that in the next probably 10 days. So, all right, coming up next, let's pivot back to the NBA. The losers of last night's game, the Minnesota Timberwolves, where do they go from here? And are there any easy answers? We'll get that next here on Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, the NBA draft is coming up on June 25th, but even better, the day before, we have the Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms.
Woo! Tuesday!
Is it Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday, June 24th. Or is a wait, is that Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday, June 24th.
There you go, Tuesday, June 24th. There you go.
You're just over here throwing wrenches in what I'm saying, asking me if it's on Tuesday or
not. You're asking me about days of the week, brother.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited for it. We only have slots in the morning round, though.
The afternoon round
completely sold out.
Completely gone. Brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows and Doors and Full Book Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. The great thing about that morning round being available means you get the Victor Rico's breakfast burritos.
That's what I'm talking about. Before your round, it is the best way to start your round.
It is, hands down. Matt's Barbecue will have all your catering for both rounds.
Yes!
In the Red Shed, and we'll have some more news notes and surprises as we will have adornments, as it were, at damn near every hole.
Mm-hmm. Activities abound. There's a lot of buzz about what's going to be going on at the Fan Golf Classic. We're finalizing a lot of the details right now, and announcements forthcoming, possibly as soon as tomorrow.
We'll be at the sixth hole, the clown hole, taking our celebrity shots for you and having a good old time. And
you're using that term very liberally.
There you go.
The celebrity
indeed.
Shot.
We had the hole in one last year, right?
At that hole, yeah. And it was electric.
It was great because we were all there to see it.
Yeah, I think Dirk got it on video.
Mm-hmm. Somebody did.
We got it on video. Yeah. It was awesome.
So, it's a grand old time. Come out, hang
two
out.
Two hole-in-ones on the same round yesterday.
The other one was on the back, right?
Yeah, I think it was on...
Was it 11?
No, maybe 14,
okay.
The long one.
Oh.
Yeah. Not like the real long one. That was 17. But the longer, it was like 165, 170. It was a good one. It was a great one.
I saw a TikTok the other day. A guy won a club championship. He needed a hole-in-one to win and got it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Par 3 on 18, drained it.
What club is a par 3 18?
Yeah.
What in the world is going on here? All right. Well, hey, good on him. He got a hole in one.
Looked like a nice course, and he gave a little tiger fist pump, and then sheathed the sword.
That's what I'm talking about.
A nice little strut walking up the hole. And he goes, "That's how we do it." I was like, all
"That's
right.
not my reaction. That would not be my reaction.
I would be sprinting to that hole.
You would be injured for a good month after whatever celebration.
If I did that, just taking those like 25,000 shots at the six like we do, that little hill right there, it would be like the cheese roll.
Just going down.
Have you seen that video? That guy, again, referencing a guy on mushrooms. Did you see the guy on mushrooms during the cheese roll?
No. What he's talking about, by the way, is that there's an event across the pond somewhere.
It's in Germany, I think.
Where they roll a wheel of cheese down a hill and people chase it down the hill.
It is the steepest hill with like the thickest bush.
It's England or Ireland, I thought.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. I think it is on the island. But this guy, 3/4 of the way down, he does the stub toe full launch, and he just goes limp in midair, eats it just in the most gnarly fashion. And when he flips over, you see his arm is going the wrong way. And either his arm is completely dislocated, or it is a compound fracture but a full fracture of a bone, because it goes full rubber going the wrong way. And you're like, that dude's dead. If he's not, he wishes he was.
Well, and how do you know he was on drugs?
He said he was on mushrooms.
when he
was rolling twice.
When he took flight like that, and he flew.
Oh, he covers like 15 feet of ground horizontally.
Yeah. And then when he finally hit, I don't know, it must have been an article of clothing or something, but
kicks off.
It looked like his head exploded.
Yeah. Oh, it is gnarly. And I've watched a bunch of videos from that over the years. That is easily one of the three worst, like, eat it scenarios I've ever seen on that thing.
Ugh, brutal.
Like, why?
Why would you do it?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I get, like, some of the, like the Red Bull, like, Flugtags and stuff like that.
Those where
are, like,
you launch, you create something that you think can fly, and you launch it off the ramp into the water.
The cheese roll and the...
Well, because tradition, Danny. Yeah.
Well,
tradition.
And they're just young, dumb, and
there's one
full
in,
of gum.
Yeah. There's one, I want to say, in Spain or the Spanish islands, where they run out on a greased pole.
Yeah.
It's like 25,
that's
30.
Greece, actually.
Is it Greece?
Yeah.
Okay. That one is gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
The number of dudes who just
rack themselves
in tremendous fashion.
No bueno.
And like, you see the guys that rack the huevos and then like do the face smack and then fall off into the water. And it's like, it's not a short trip to the water either.
So fun.
I'm like, why would you do that one?
So fun.
Hard pass.
Oh, man.
What? No part of that. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the future of the Minnesota Timberwolves now that they have been eliminated. But first, it's Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
While last night's game featuring the Minnesota Timberwolves and Oklahoma City Thunder was a complete and utter debacle, disaster, however you want to describe it, after Minnesota Timberwolves scored a whopping 9 points in the first quarter, the bags were packed for Cancun, Turks and Cakes, or whatever establishment in Ireland you would like to go to as a young multimillionaire in the NBA. The questions now abound for the Minnesota Timberwolves and what they do going forward, because they have some major financial discussions that they have to figure out. And one of those started in the offseason last year when Karl-Anthony Towns was traded to the New York Knicks for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo. The Timberwolves now have to figure out how they add more creation around Ant Edwards. That has been the thing that is apparent. As much as Mike Conley's stabilizing force.
Are you in fast forward right now?
Oh, am I? Could be.
It's just rude to go and talk some off season.
Yeah, basketball, baby.
I mean, good Lord.
Oh, maybe it's the fact that I cracked the third energy drink already.
Probably.
I usually only do two throughout the whole show.
Holy smokes.
This Monster energy drink laced with speed.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
I mean, here we go. Now we got the AI version.
Chat DM.
Oh, man. That was really fun.
But no, the Timberwolves have a lot of questions that they're facing going into this offseason because the financial ramifications of their roster. Now, ownership has been settled. The Lori/Rodriguez ownership group is...
A-Rod.
Won the court case, and it sounds like Glenn Taylor is going to relinquish the control to that group.
His tail between his legs.
Yeah, he's still sitting courtside at games. Mm-hmm. Skeletor himself. But they have, I mean, the reason they traded Karl Anthony Towns is because he's owed an obscene amount of money over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Randle has a $31 million player option. Naz Reid has a contract that he's going to look at. Nikhil Alexander Walker has a contract that he is looking at. And unfortunately for the Timberwolves, Nikhil Alexander Walker, because of his very cheap deal, they can only use the bird rights to go up to offer him a max extension of $8 million a year. And that's not going to get it done. So will they lose him if they opt to sign Naz Reid to a $23 or $25 million a year deal? And again, you have to stop thinking about contracts, particularly in the NBA, as raw numbers. You have to think about percentage of caps. Jake Fisher had it in his article on the Steinline. I've been talking to Jake for the last couple of weeks, just back and forth on intel, is to try to get an idea of what he's hearing about the Trailblazers. And one thing him and I have been talking about a lot, and this is the thing that's going around the NBA. The going rate for a starter in the NBA who's capable of basically scoring 20 points a game, they are using Emmanuel Quickley's $32.5 million a year deal as the starting point.
Yikes.
That is just, and if you think about that, it's like, man, that is so much money. Da, 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 da. That's roughly 20% of the cap. But that's the reality of it. And I was talking to people yesterday, and they're like, well, that's Jalen Suggs' money. Well, I'm like, well, yes, but if you're an agent and you're not using Jalen Suggs as the guy, because Jalen Suggs is better. You use Emmanuel Quickley, who's not quite as good as Jalen Suggs, as an agent, because you go, my guy's better than Emmanuel Quickley.
As of right now, the Timberwolves have a $295 million roster heading mm-hmm. in. That's this. They have the second highest number of any team in the NBA mm-hmm. this year, only second to the Phoenix Suns. It's higher than Boston. It's higher than the Lakers. It's higher than the Knicks. And that problem's only going to compound itself as they move forward because of everything that you're saying. And going over with those bird rights doesn't help you that much, man.
You're not going to be able to retain Nikhil Alexander Walker at $8 million a year.
Heading into next year with their cap holds, they will be $4.5 million over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are still going to want to get paid because you made it to the Western Conference Finals.
And you need to find a way to improve this team.
You have to do it.
You have got to get additional creators. And does that mean Julius Randle opts into his deal and you hope you can trade him to Phoenix as part of an expiring deal along with Rob Dillingham for Kevin Durant? But is that the creation that you need? Because I look at the Wolves and I think you need more rim pressure.
That's going to be really hard to defend, though, because of the fact that good luck running a box and one on Ant Edwards. And that's what slowed him down. And last night, he was forcing shots mm-hmm. that people wanted him to force in game four, but they weren't falling because it's really damn hard to do.
Well, not just that, the turnovers, 14 first half turnovers. The Thunder it's were
brutal,
just
man.
Banshees. To
and
take
that,
word
that goes back to Lu Dort and Alex Caruso. Just,
and Cason Wallace.
They play off ball defense so dang well.
They shoot passing lanes. They dig down on every drive. It is a thing to behold.
But with KD, one, you get a little bit more spacing.
You definitely have a release valve, but you don't have the rim pressure. And I think the thing that they need more is the rim pressure.
But you have Ant Edwards with being able to create with more space. Like, that inherently would happen mm-hmm. even with old KD out on the floor.
And is KD a better fit for that than Julius Randle? Probably. And it's a bummer that Julius's last two games were so bad. Because he was so good.
Second to last game was really bad.
You know what I mean, but both games, like, he just wasn't functional. Yeah. He is a bull in a china shop. He has some creation. Here's the problem with the Timberwolves, and this is why they trick games off. They fall apart because they don't Ant's a good creator, and he can and will get better. He is never going, like, as much as he's going to be a primary engine, he's never going to be a primary creator. And I'm not saying they need Tyrese Halliburton. What they honestly need is they need Mike Conley from 10 years ago. A guy who doesn't take a ton of shots, but gets into the paint easily, effortlessly. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine with the Cavs last night, and he's like, I proposed a deal, and he's like, it'll never happen because Kobe Altman, the general manager of the Cavs, would never do it. I was like, what about Jaden McDaniels and Dante DiVincenzo for Darius Garland?
Yeah.
You finally get your small forward. You would have McDaniels, Mobley, and Allen in your front court. That's terrifying. Like, that's my God. You're hoping that Mobley is going to continue taking the steps forward offensively, and Darius Garland would give them the Mike Conley-esque rim pressure while also still providing that floor stabilization, the organizing effects of Mike Conley.
And then you're moving Ty Jerome to your starting point guard in Cleveland, though?
No, he still come off the bench. I think you could have like a Donovan Mitchell, Dante DiVincenzo backcourt. Like that's doable. I think like I would lean towards like because they do have guys coming off the bench. You still have that ability. It would give you that flexibility. But their problem was being consistent defensively. They weren't able to slow teams down, particularly that forward spot. Mm-hmm. They tried to get that with DeAndre Hunter, and he just isn't that good of a defender to be that guy. Or Jay McDaniels was very clearly that guy.
He is that guy in spades.
Yeah. And I mean, again, we talked about him, 6'10", incredible, crazy wingspan. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be on all defensive team conversations
and
for
his
career.
And you wouldn't be asking him to bear a scoring load as number two.
No, because you're asking Evan Mobley to do that, and Donovan Mitchell is clearly your number one scoring guy.
Yeah.
It would never happen, but I was just like, these are the kind of exercises that I do in talking to people. Like, this seems like it makes sense for both teams. Like, but that's the problem for Minnesota, because they have so many big contracts and because they're going to be in a potential squeeze, their ability to kind of generate stuff going forward is going to be really interesting. They went in all early on Ant Edwards, and it is a team that has been absolute dog water for almost its entire existence, has back-to-back Western Conference Finals. That is not something to slouch at.
Nope.
It is a real achievement. It's a real accomplishment. And it's not, oh, look at the Wolves, man. It's like, no, man. Like, being one of the final four teams in back-to-back years, the same can be said about the Indiana Pacers. Being at the mountaintop and being there means something. There's only one winner. If you were there consistently, you're doing something right. No matter what luck breaks your way or how things go, like if you are consistently there year after year, you're doing something right and you are onto something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be probably the most important summer, maybe in the Minnesota Timberwolves franchise's history. Like, as insane as that is to say, it probably is so far.
I don't think it is because of where they've been at, and like KG, you could have said it back when KG was there, mm-hmm. but he signaled and he got his way out,
yep.
and you knew what it was. You're not in that situation right now.
No, and Ant is perfectly happy there and is perfectly happy being the face of that franchise, and he's going to get better. Did you see his comments after the game?
Which ones?
The one about being disappointed.
Yeah.
I thought his comment showed a ton of maturity. He said, I'm excited. I don't know why everybody would think that I'm hurt or disappointed. I'm excited. And whether that's real or not, the fact that he's saying it and doing the right thing shows a level of growth and maturity that I wasn't sure we were going to get from him.
I don't think a guy like Anthony Edwards fakes a comment like that. Yeah. Like he's not a guy where you can plant a statement.
He's going to say what he's going to say.
He's going to say whatever he's feeling in that moment. And you're right. It was one of those, I like that.
Good for you.
Out of him.
Yeah.
Like, it should sting, but, you know, he is excited. You shouldn't be disappointed to be one of the four best teams in the, hell, we're here in Portland and they're still talking about 2019.
Look, man.
Going one time.
Having a guy like Mike Conley who's sitting there telling you, man, I've been doing this for 18 years.
Hard to do.
It's hard to get here. Don't take this for granted. Pascal Siakam was on record, I want to say last week, talking about my third year. I want a title. And I thought, oh, we're just going to keep doing this. Like, this is how it's going to go.
Dan Marino thought he'd be back.
There's a video from Siakam. They held a workout at Siakam's house in the offseason. He's got his own court at his house. And the whole team came down. It's a really cool video of where he kind of goes into this. And is like, look, man. We need to do this a certain way because as much as you think as you're a young dude, like you've been winning since you got here because we've kind of built this thing pretty darn quick, it can be gone like that.
In an instant.
And you've got to be ready. You've got to have this figured out because you might never get back.
True.
And with that, the Pacers take on the New York Knicks tonight with the opportunity to move on to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2000 when Reggie Miller, Jalen Rose, and that crew, they made an appearance and had to deal with Shaq. They will have to overcome not a similar obstacle, but a very dominant obstacle in the Oklahoma City Thunder. Can they get it done or will the Knicks push this series? That's all we're up at today's show. I'm Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Brass Monkey. The Indiana Pacers have the opportunity here to go back to the finals for the first time in a quarter century. last time there in 2000. If they can take on the Knicks tonight and send them home. Yesterday, Nemec and I talked about, will the Timberwolves show up and not make this a sad, sad go out? They did not. I did not have the highest hopes. I do, however, think the Knicks will fight.
There isn't, at Karl-Anthony Towns. Outside of Karl-Anthony Towns, there isn't a guy on that Knicks roster who's going to go out sad.
And Cat might not play tonight.
Yeah, that knee,
he hit
not
the
good.
Ground like a sack of bricks.
And he gets, and I give him flack, too, because of the reliability at times in crucial situations and clutch moments.
But he has played through some heinous stuff.
He's tough as nails, and he's been showing it through this series because he went down hard in game four. It was game three that this is a surgically repaired knee meniscus that he dealt with before. Mm-hmm. Game three is when he started like flexing his leg and something happened in game three. He played through it in game four and then re-aggravated it significantly.
He went knee to knee and it was not good.
Not great, Bob.
It is classified as a contusion, but let's see what the summer off-season surgery report says.
Yeah. That sucks for him because he's going to catch heat because it's what New York media will do.
He's soft in this, that. And look,
he's been.
Cat is not mentally. Like, I will pick apart Cat's game. I am not going to pick apart his mental toughness for those that
he's
don't know.
He's got it together.
He went through some devastating family news through COVID, lost his mom. Like this dude has been through hell and back.
Yep.
And for him, he continued to battle through and play despite tragedy after tragedy in his life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't question like that side of things. I don't question him with that stuff. I question him in, you know, tough game moments and being mentally tough in those moments and doing what's necessary. But as far as being on the court and being able to play, I don't question that.
I just look, Indiana's going to win this series and that seems inevitable. I mean, they've been the better team throughout the series, even when they lose a game. They were up by 20 in it. The thing that's going to be a bummer for me is that if Indiana closes out the Knicks, it's the last NBA on TNT game inside the NBA. And we don't know, like, we know that Charles, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie are going to be on ESPN. We don't know what that show is going to look like.
No, I mean, and Kenny Smith has talked about that.
Like, that's going to be crazy. This is going to be the last iteration of it. And they have that documentary. Have you seen the documentary they've been rolling out after?
I've watched a couple of clips.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. It's been really cool. Ernie Johnson is one of the coolest human beings on planet Earth.
Just gets it.
Man. I like him. And then it takes you just behind the scenes and the interactions that those guys have with the people that they work with. And you can see why that show works the way it does. I mean, it's awesome.
Knicks are 4.5-point favorites tonight.
And plus, if they wrap it up tonight, there's no basketball till next Thursday, correct?
Yeah, we get a whole week. Yeah. No hoopy.
I don't like that.
Sad Danny. Sad Danny.
The one thing I hate about the finals is means basketball's over.
For those watching on YouTube, Isaac apparently doesn't know how to plug in his cellular telephone there. He's going through it right now. It just doesn't work. Try unplugging it and putting it in that little thing right there. Up next, IT with Isaac and Rob. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Sook.
Oh.
4 hours of power. Their mouths are your ears. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday, noon to three, right here on The Fan.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.